Ani. Bismillah
wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma alhimna marashida umurina wa a'idhna min shururi anfusina. The summary of our entire Islam is not knowledge itself, but it was the manner that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught something. And because he taught it not from a book, he taught it in a practical. He was with a sahabi, he was with an animal. He said to the sahabi, let me teach you something. After that, whatever was taught, because it was a amal that took place between two friends, that sahabi radiallahu anhu would hold on to it. And when he would practice on it, his way of practice would be different from the entire world. For which reason, it is clear that if a person wants to make islah, you can read books for knowledge. But as long as, example, one ustad of ours, while teaching us the hadith or the amal, that when a person is in tashahud, then where do you put your fingers? Does it go over the knees? Some ulama say, let it go over. Some ulama keep it quite a bit away from it. Some ulama take it more closer to the edge. Some take it just over. So everyone has a different reason, a different way. But one day he said to us in class that I used to sometimes keep my hands here, and sometimes I would put it over, sometimes I would be just touching. He said, then I was sitting next to my sheikh, meaning his sheikh, Maulana Masihullah Rahimullah of Jalalabad. He said, while I was reading namaz, Maulana Masihullah, his sheikh, put his hand on his hand and moved it. And he just brought it little front and let it fall over the knee, slightly over the knee. But because he did that one touch, he said, after that day, my hand never moved again. It always then went there. This is the difference between he read, so sometimes it was here, sometimes it was there. And someone touches you. When someone will touch, after that you will never forget it like. That he left it here, I'm going to leave it. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when they would narrate a hadith, they would never narrate it as a wording. They would always narrate it that something happened. And he brings the whole picture. In that bringing the picture, he wanted the listener also to try to understand what happened in that picture. As though you putting yourself that I am the other person. I am the sahabi and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is with me. And then he looks at me and he says something to me. So I will narrate one hadith to you about one amal. This amal, the importance of this amal, all of us know it. How unique the last two surahs of Quran is. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. That is something we all know. But now I'm going to narrate it in a manner where this sahabi radiallahu anhu is going to say that I also knew it's unique. But it was after this incident that I really felt it's unique. See the difference between. One is I knew it's unique. What a surah. There's no surah like this. And one is after this incident, he would understand there is nothing like this here for me. They were on the journeys. The Arabs, the most difficult time in their day was when they would reach the areas at night. Because when you're in the desert in the night, and it becomes dark, then the jinn, it was an habit of old. The jinn would always like man to get scared. That's all they can do. You can call it barking. They can bark, but they can't bite. They would always be thrilled if people would get scared and start saying, oh jinn, oh master. So a time came where the jinn used to make extra noises. When people were passing, they would make an extra noise. Now it's not easy when you're camping. When you're trying to sleep in a tent and you're hearing sounds. So some people tried this. They would say, oh, master of the jungle, master of the forest. And as soon as they would say this, the jinn would make sure now no one makes noise. It's a calm, right? So it became like the habit. As soon as you enter, you say, oh, master, master of the forest. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, he stopped them from doing this. And naturally the jinn will get very upset. Now that's when the jinn start interfering. Many a child, you might have a jinn with you, near you for many years. As long as you don't interfere with it, it's very happy. But let that boy start reading Quran. And then you see it comes out. Now he's getting headaches, now the leg is paining, now the stomach is paining. You see, all along, sometimes that child gets a very strong taweez. And the father is told that, you know, this one, as soon as he puts on that taweez, all the pain goes away. So naturally that father now starts telling other fathers that I found one taweez that works wonders. Sometimes when you open that taweez to see the meaning of it, the meaning of the taweez is, I seek the help of a jinn. So just because the jinn's help was sought, he's very happy then. I'm not going to make no noise, no headaches, no stomach aches. But you have to seek his help. As soon as you give up that taweez, and you say, I want nothing to do with shirk, why must I take the help of a jinn? Then again he's going to become irritated. Now again he's going to show his shan. Again he will start barking. Now again the headache will come, the stomach will start paining, you just feel, because there is some feeling you got. The Sahabi radiallahu anhu who's narrating this, he also had this. When you grow up with this fear, they had this fear that when I'm in the forest, and if I don't ever seek the aid of the jinn, then we know they're going to do something. Now Islam came and forbade it. You will enter the jinn, but you're not going to take, you'll enter the forest. But no way are you going to say, oh master. So you have a natural fear now. That if I don't say it, what's going to happen? Whole night I have to sleep. So he says, his name is Uqba bin Amir radiallahu anh. So I want you now to put yourself in his picture. Because me and you also grow up with some fear. What our fear is, everyone got a different fear. I remember when I was small, there was one friend of ours in school. He was short by nature. And his mother had told him that if someone jumps over you, then you won't grow tall. So by nature he wasn't tall. And that he wants to grow tall now naturally because you're not tall already, but you passed your real age of growing. But you want, you got to hope at least few more centimeters. Imagine that boy when someone jumped over him. Someone jumped over him. And it was a major thing in the school. Because he cried like, my future is destroyed. That last few centimeters are never going to come. So everyone started laughing. Then his parents came to school. They were upset that how could someone jump over him? Like, now the thought that if someone jumps over me, now we laugh about it. But that family who grew up in it, for them this is yaqeen, conviction. Once someone jumps over me, I'll never grow tall again. That person finds it very hard to come out of it. Before Islam, the people of the Arabs had a lot of these superstitions. And when you grow up in it, even if you don't want to believe it, it's there, it troubles you. So this was definitely going to trouble him tonight. He says, I was traveling with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I was pulling his camel. Kuntu aqudu. I was pulling his camel. Most likely it was those areas where the camel now needs some extra. Someone to pull it because maybe the area is slippery. Maybe because of the darkness of the night, whatever it was. His job was now to walk in front and to take the camel along a path. At that moment, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to him, O Uqba, should I not teach you khayra suratayni quri'ata, the best two surahs that could ever be recited. The best two surahs that can ever be recited. They will explain what it means, the best two surahs that can ever be recited to seek the protection of Almighty Allah. Otherwise in the Quran, the entire Quran is unique. So let me show you the best. Here it was because now already he is thinking tonight. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam most likely was inspired. He could see that fear on his face, perhaps this will be another night. And maybe they mention in the kitabs that Uqba bin Amir had this thing. That when night would come, it was a natural, it was an inside thought, like now what? He said, should I not teach you the best of the two surahs that could be recited? Now naturally when you hear surahs, man's nature is whenever someone says, I got something special to give you, you always expect something either big, huge, unique. But sometimes, example, if a man understands the value of gold, then you don't need someone to give you a big bar, even if he gives you a small coin. But you have to know the value of it. Then you understand, with the small coin I can do the work of big things. But because he was expecting something big now, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I'll teach you the best of what can be recited. So when he asked what, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, let me teach you, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Now remember in class we did قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ already. You learned the meaning of it. When Sahaba radiallahu anhu were taught, they never ever learned like how in our country we learn a surah and we don't know the meaning. Whatever they read, they always knew what it means. So in Quran, if it's not so easy for you to still do it, you're still learning. But do so much. Every now and then make dua. But when you're making dua, always use a kitab which got the Arabic dua and the English under it. Don't ever make a dua and you don't know what it means. How I told you, don't ever put a ta'weez on your child and you don't know what the meaning of the ta'weez is. Because years and years can go. And you might have put something on the child which is saying, I need your help, O jinn. A ta'weez is not meant to be written. To seek Allah's help, it is to ask. So whatever dua you make, you must know the meaning. A dua is not reading, it's asking. You can't ask if you don't know what you're asking for. Then when you look at the meaning, you say, I need this. Then you will make the dua second time, third time. Without meaning, there's no life. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught him these two surahs. But because he knew these surahs already, these were surahs that everyone knew. So he himself says, فَلَمْ يَرَنِي سُرِرْتُ بِهِمَا جِدًّا. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw that I was not so excited about it. It was something he taught me and I listened, I said, very nice. But I never show that level of excitement that I have learned the best. So he saw that. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi would not say anything. Then spend the night, they traveled. فَلَمَّا نَزَلَ لِصَلَاةِ الصُّبْحِ. Now it was the time of Fajr. Normally Fajr, you will always read lengthy surahs. On a journey, you are allowed to read shorter surahs because you have to carry on your journey. But otherwise, Fajr wants a long surah. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam decided to choose on that morning two surahs for his Fajr salah. Because remember, I now need to read a short salah. But Fajr, Allah has mentioned the Quran of Fajr is something to be witnessed. Which meant that this Quran must be long. The angels are coming for it. The angels are coming. They're going to wait for it. Imagine you have a jalsa. Everyone gathers for the jalsa. But because something happened, so everyone gathers and you just say, okay, I'll just speak for 2 minutes. Now everyone wondered, we came so far. When Fajr comes, it's a time where Quran has to be long. But now you're on Safar. And on Safar you want to make it short, but it's Fajr, sir. And Fajr wants a lengthy Quran. He says, on that occasion, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Salla Bihima. He performed قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. He read in the first rakat. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. He read it in the second rakat. In that he made an indication that I am showing you two surahs. That where normally in Fajr, if I have to read an entire surah, سَأَلَ سَائِلٌ بِعَذَابِ وَاقِعٍ. But if I need to make it short, I can read قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ, and it's sufficient for that entire long surah. I read قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, and my work is done. After the salah, Nabi ﷺ now looks at Uqba bin Amir. So this is this picture that he draws in front of us. As though Nabi ﷺ now turns to me and you. Because we also heard the first part. Let me show you the two surahs, the best that could be recited to put you in the protection of Almighty Allah. But we heard it. As soon as we heard it, we said, I know this. So he says, after the salah, Nabi ﷺ turns to Uqba bin Amir. He says one sentence. But it is this one sentence that will now remain in the Sahabi. I am going to say the sentence to you. You are going to try to remember it. And whenever you look at قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, you must remember these two words. But the way Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam turns, he just turns and he looks at him. He says, O Uqba, and there's two words. He says, كَيْفَ رَأَيْتَ. Kaifa ra'aita. Kaifa ra'aita. Kaifa ra'aita means, how did you find these two surahs? Kaifa ra'aita. How did you find these two surahs? There was some miracle in that word. Some scholars have written that after this year, Uqba bin Amir radiallahu an would never experience fear at night. Never experienced. Some have written that with that one sentence, how did you find it? It became like the most unique surahs for Uqba bin Amir. That's why he's narrating it in this manner. I want you now to live with the sentence. Kaifa ra'aita. When you will think of this year, you're going to be driving out at night. South Africa is just as scary as the lands of the Arabs in the past. In South Africa, in the past, it was only a jinn and animals. So the jinn could still say to the animals, don't trouble this man, because he already said, help me. We're living in a country, even if the jinn say to our people, don't kill him, they'll still kill. So the jinn are also scared. Here you're not going to ask the jinn for help. So there's no thought of it. Now when you have this natural fear, you got two surahs. It is these two surahs that were meant, that when it is dark and you're scared, and you will say, min sharri ghasiq. Ghasiq means darkness. From the evil that happens in the dark parts. Sharri ghasiqin idha waqab. When darkness spreads over everything, there's one Allah who darkness doesn't come over Allah. That what I can't see, Allah can see. What is hidden from me is not hidden from Allah. So we will stop this one and we will do a few ayat of Quran. But I want you, after you leave this, whenever you are going to be reading قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, in the morning you must read it 3 times. In the evening you must read it. Especially nowadays when people are in a madrasa, you'll see one boy gets sick, another boy gets sick. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he even mentioned when person gets sick, he must read these surahs. He must blow in his palms, read each one 3 times. Blow. Then he must rub over his body. He must rub it hard, nicely. As though he's taking away the effects of something evil. He's wiping it away. And then he would even mention, it will suffice you from everything except death. If you have to pass away because of sickness, nothing is going to save you. You have to meet Allah. But if it's not death, then it will wipe away the traces, that heavy fever, that high fever, I'm not feeling well, to come on to these two surahs. But when you are going to read it, I want you to think of this word. That the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam now faces. He faces me. And then he said, كَيْفَ رَأَيْتَ. That how did you find these two surahs? And then I will read the surah and I say, I found it amazing. كَيْفَ رَأَيْتَ. How did you find it? This was what was known as an amal. When they would hear it from Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they always had a waqiyah, an incident. So later on in their life when they would narrate it, it was not just that they would narrate the best surahs that could be recited. They would have an entire incident. How I behaved, how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam behaved with me. How he saw me, I was not so thrilled. He made sabr. Whole night he never say anything. The next morning he thought about it. But how do I show the sahabi what are these two surahs? He decided in the Fajr Salah, in the place of a long surah, I'm going to read a short surah. to say the short surah is equal to the long one you were waiting for yesterday. I'll read it in my salah also. This is more than sufficient. And then kayfa ra'aita. Obviously, when you hear Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam reading these two surahs, naturally it also has its extra effect. Kayfa ra'aita. Now to get that full amal, however, Hafiz Yusuf is here. Hafiz Yusuf is going to read now, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ وَقُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. As though he is our imam. And after he finishes reading it, he's going to ask us one time, كَيْفَ رَأَيْتَ. Then how did you find these two surahs? The boys who are here every day for 1 week, you don't know قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. But already you know the meaning of قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. So as he's going to read that second surah, I want you, as he's reading it, how I explained to you in class, you will be thinking of that meaning. And you will be thinking of that meaning. He will read it nice and slowly. And you will enjoy these two surahs. And you will understand from now my protection when I ask Almighty Allah will be in these two surahs.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس صدق الله العظيم.
Kayfa ra'aita. And your inside must say these are wonderful two surahs. Allah tabarakallah let, like how he took it after that. And for him this was my answer for every problem. He would never forget to recite it in the mornings. He would never forget to recite it in the evenings. Because that one sentence, kayfa ra'aita. How did you find it? He found it amazing. The other day I started mentioning to the boys who were here an incident which my brother made mention of in a book that he has compiled, which is known as Presence of Paradise. Because I needed to complete the surah, that story, very quickly we'll just make a crux of what we mentioned to them, and then we'll go through the remaining part of the story. It had to do with some people who were walking around, and they found one woman running past them. She had come from Russia. Someone had brought her over. She was a non-Muslim, so it was no real big deal. Wasn't that she had deen. But the person who brought her, he had brought her to use her to sell her body, and there were many other women with her. They thought they are coming for some work. So when they came there, and this man had their passports, and then he told them that, you know, the work that you all wanted to is going to get you so much of money. But I got a better job for y'all, which can give you a lot more. So some of those women from Russia, they heard of the amount and they said, that's what we do in our country. It makes no difference. But there was this one woman, she said, no way. And then the man laughed at her and he said, that where are you going to go then? I got your passport. But when he lifted it up, she grabbed it. And she started running. So he never chased her. But as she was running, he said loudly, remember, if ever you know that you can't go anywhere else, you're in an Arab country. Who's going to help you? So when you know you can't go anywhere else, come back. And this is where you will meet me. But as she ran, she passed by this group, one man and his sisters. And when they found him, she came running because there were three girls, women with him. She felt a little comfortable and she started begging them. So in her own way, she started explaining, I need help. They felt bad for her. They took her home. It was a very long incident. While they were at home, his sisters became quite close to her. They started giving her dawah of Iman and Islam. And she would always say, if you understand my family and how staunch they are, you will never ever think I can accept Islam. But then a time came where he went to a library and he managed to get books. He himself never knew much about Islam, so he couldn't explain it. But he brought books, so the librarian is speaking of the majority of the incident because he was giving him those books. So the first books came home and the woman, she reads, and this is an amazing thing, that those people who grow up sometimes with Iman and Islam will never ever appreciate Islam so much like the one who gets it later. When they get it, they already get it. So a time came where she accepts Islam, they were very happy. But then one day when the librarian sees them, he gets surprised that four women are entering the library, about four women. One got niqab, the other three don't have. So he asked that, who's the one with the covering? She said, I married her. But when she read about why women have to be covered, when she first saw someone covered, she even asked the husband why. So the husband said, no, our religion tells us to cover. But his own sisters were not covering. But as soon as she heard that, within a few days, she says that, I will never go out of the house unless you get me something to cover myself. How amazing it is. Allah Tabaruk Ta'ala speaks about this here in Quran, where magicians came to oppose Musa alayhi salam. And then they saw a miracle of Musa alayhi salam and they fell in sajda. After that, Fir'aun said to them, I will cut your hand from one side, the leg from the other side. وَلَأُصَلِّبَنَّكُمْ فِي جُذُوعِ النَّخْرِ I'll hang you. You'll be alive. Then the birds will come, they'll start biting from you. You will suffer in the heat. Blood will be coming out. You won't die. You will scream and you will die. Musa alayhi salam grew up with the Bani Israel. The Banu Israel already knew they are the children of the Anbiya. But Musa alayhi salam had so much of difficulties with them. These magicians, they grew up in evil and dirt. They worked with shayateen. When they saw the miracle of religion, they said to Fir'aun that you can do what you want with us. All you can make decisions is in this world. We are going to an Allah. And we worried, what if that Allah is to take us to task? We ever hope He'll forgive us of all the magic we did. How they managed to change so suddenly? This is why some ulama have mentioned, you must make it part of your mission in life to give dawah to one who does not have Islam. Because if because of you he finds Islam, either a man very far away from Allah and he finds Allah, or a non-Muslim who becomes a Muslim, he said, your work is done after that. Your work is done. That person will become so staunch that you will have to tell the person, hold on, you're going too fast for me. To be a da'i has that extra benefit, that you just have to give dawah to someone. Like how here he went to the library and he told the man, help me out, I need a book. The man took a little time, no problem, I'll give you a book. That one book entered this man, this woman's hand. She read about Islam, she accepted Islam, and such a Islam she made, that now we will read her Islam and it will end the sweet taste of Iman. That if someone really tasted Iman, it was this woman. But in her Iman and Islam, he will get reward, his sisters will get reward, the librarian will get reward, everyone had the share. You must never be shy. You might go home, your worker might be walking around, she or he is not a Muslim. You will never know what one day will make them think of Islam. So you, like a young boy, can easily say, you want one book? Finished. Yeah, I brought one gift for you. And in the gift you put a little bit of potatoes, tomatoes, and you put one small book. What is Islam? That worker is going to take it very nicely from you. Let's leave the story. I'll mention one other story and we'll do the story, inshallah, next week. In America, most likely it was the imam of the town, because he was new. And you have to understand, when people reached countries from India, Pakistan, like America, like Canada, like Britain, how you seeing it today, just about 60, 70, 80 years ago, it wasn't like that. I went to now to England, so there's a place in England called Bartley. In Bartley, they prepared a kitab that the first people who came to Bartley, how was it? So some of those people are still alive, right at the ending, so they were actually able to ask them, that when you came, can you tell us what was, because now there's so many masjids, the merkaz was there. So we're now just going back to where they were still alive, so it means 80 years ago. I went to Canada, they told me that when they came to Canada, they used to make Jummah on a Sunday. So that sentence to me sounds so funny. We used to make Jummah on a Sunday. But they had no deen, they had no environment. So in Bartley, when the men came, there were no women. Because there were no women, the men, they used to stay together. They would get jobs in factories. And now when the time came for eating, who's going to make the food? So they even say that when we were in our country, our wives were making. But now when they reach here, none of them know how to make food. So they said, we used to like roti. So we told someone, let's make roti. So the only thing they knew in roti is it's round. But they never know how to make it round. So normally the woman will roll like this to get it round. He says they used to go around the table to get it round. So something they did, and going round and round and round, and they got their round rotis. They never knew. So they understood chicken. Because someone told them chicken. So they said chicken, chicken. So then they wanted what we call like rooster. So you get murghi and you get murgha. Like the male chicken. They wanted, now they feel tired of the female. But they never know now how to go and ask in the shop now, I want not chicken now, I want male. So he's explaining to the man like with sign language to try to show that not this one, but like this one. Not this one, like that. And that man is not understanding. Finally, he became so fed up now. He told the man, where's the chicken husband? Chicken husband. That man is looking like, who's the husband of the chicken? And then that white man started laughing so much. He says, but that name remained for so long after that. Whenever they entered the shop, they just said, where's chicken husband? And the man knew what they needed at that moment. So they got murghi. So they said they never knew English. If you don't know English, how are they going to live? But in that condition, when they entered at that time, it's not easy. So like that there, you have to do something then. So when Alim reached America, conditions were very difficult. Hardly anyone around. So he said to his son, on a Sunday, me and you will go to the houses. Instead of they coming to Muslim houses, we will go to their houses. We'll knock at a house, we'll take every week about 5 houses, 10 houses, there's some books here. All you have to do is, you go to some houses, I go, you come with me, we knock, knock, knock. How are you? And then you say, you want something to read? And the person says, no, I don't want, get out. I say, no problem. And if the person says, how are you, where are you coming from? Because it's a new thing. The people were only getting used to Muslims, so at the beginning they were very friendly. So it's a new thing, so he had a book. And like this, he used to go. So he writes that it rained. One Sunday was raining. So he woke up, he said, raining. Raining means off chutti. And then his son came to say, daddy, we're not going today. So the father said that it's raining. So the boy went away. After a while he came back, he said, like, we're still not going. So the father said, no, like, you'll get wet. So he said, but what happens if someone dies today on a rainy day? Will that one still go to the fire? So the father laughed, like, he said, now don't ask stupid questions, like. So the boy said, okay, daddy, can I go? Like, so he said, it's raining. He said, no, the rain stopped. He said, you're going to get wet. He said, no, I only got my 10 books to give for this week. Let me just go give it quickly and I'll come back. So that boy goes out. So this is what is called da'wah. You'll never know who it hits. So the boy went, he gave out the whole thing, he came home and game was finished. Friday, the Friday after that, the Imam is giving the khutbah. After the khutbah, someone says to him, there's someone who wants to accept Islam. So then after the people go with a woman at the back, then he has proper hijab, and then he goes and he's speaking. So that woman starts speaking and she says that before I accept Islam, I want to say thank you to a very young boy. So she explains that because she had reached a very old age, in those countries you'll see this here. We saw it with our eyes. See, when you reach the petrol station in South Africa, you got the petrol attendant. In those countries, you fill up petrol yourself. You check your own oil, you check your own tire pressure, and then you go to the shop and you pay. No one comes to do your work. So if you're young, everyone knows how to do it. He goes there, he takes it out, he puts it in. We reach there and in front of us there was another car. That woman might have easily been close to 90 years old. Easily. Everything on her body showed you're supposed to be dead long time. Everything. That woman was filling petrol. So my friend immediately jumped out and he went to say, can I help you? Please, can I help you? And I'm looking at that woman, I'm saying, look at this country. They give everything for their children. But when the children grow up, they won't even have time to fill petrol for their parents. That old woman standing there like that. Says, you're supposed to be at home. Like, you're filling petrol. You're driving. Can you even see? She's driving. There's no one for them. No one at all. They live now alone. So she says, now sitting in my house alone, my husband had passed away. Years pass. Once in a year, twice in a year, my children will come and see me. I become fed up. I watch TV, become fed up. She says that one day I'm sitting on the couch and I said that why can't I die? My husband died. Let me just die. Then it's the end. So she says, I go downstairs to our attic. I put a chair. I sat on the chair. I'm looking like how to kill myself. So she pulled one rope from the top. So she brought the rope here. Now she puts it. Now she, if I stand on my stool and I put the rope around me, and then I kick the stool. Then I just fall, I'll hang. So she said, I did all of that, now the rope is there and I'm sitting on the chair now, I'm getting ready to stand now. I stand and I get scared and I sit. Then I look at the rope again. And as I'm on this condition, I hear someone knocking. So because she's already ready to die now, now you're not going to answer the door and say like, I'll die after 5 minutes. So she says, now who's knocking now? He'll go away. But this boy now, for some reason, it's his last book. It's his last book from the 10 or whatever he had to give out. Last book. So he's a stubborn boy. Like how some of you stubborn, you'll open this thing and close it so many times. I think I will send you all with books to all the farmhouses and carry on knocking and breaking doors. So he's just knocking and knocking. And then that woman says, now who's going to knock? So what do you want? And she goes there. She opens, what you want? And he says, how are you like? And when you say, how are you? And a small boy, and it's like raining. And can I give you something to read like? And he asked her one question. He asked her, do you think God loves you? Do you think God loves you? And while she was sitting downstairs, she was angry like. And she was saying to myself, why did you create me, O God? So she was like angry with Allah. And the first question he asked her is, do you think God loves you? Have you ever thought about this? So can I give you something to read? She just looks at it and she looks at him like, where you came from? And then he says, goodbye. Like, and he runs away. He'll never know what the effect he had. That woman, where she read the book, maybe she read it on the same stool also, who knows. But after she read it, she wanted to find out, what is this Islam? So this is Dawah. When these people change, their whole life changes. They become guides for thousands after that. Your work will get done. So with this, I ask every one of you, now you make an intention. Allah, let me be a da'i. Let me invite Muslims and non-Muslims to your deen. Everyone say Ameen.
Amen.
Allah, on my hands, let a huge amount of your creation accept Iman and Islam. Say Ameen. Allah, on our hands, let a huge amount of your creation find you. Say Ameen. And oh Allah, let us value Islam just as much as they also will value Islam. Say Ameen. Because it mustn't happen later on. Four women are walking. Three are our sisters. They don't have niqab and hijab. And one librarian asked, who's this here? I said, no, this is a non-Muslim who accepted Islam. I said, who made a Muslim? My sister. I said, then what happened? Then she became a proper Muslim and they got left behind. That must never happen. We must also move far. And Allah tabarak ta'ala allows people to move far with us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyi al-kareem. Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.